a little bit just about how we bring fun in our homes. And
I just think for Kevin and I, when we got
shop and they had small, medium, and large, you know, for a different ox, they would have to bring their beast of burden in and they would have to make the yoke for that exact animal, because if it didn't fit exactly right, it would chafe and it would cause blistering and then the animal couldn't do anything. But if a yoke was shaped exactly right for that exact beast of burden, that animal could carry a greater load because it fit right. And this is what Jesus does for us. He says, I put a yoke on you that isn't necessarily light. As a matter of fact, one way to translate my yoke is easy and my burden is light is that my yoke fits right. That my yoke fits. And so light doesn't mean easy. Light means it feels right. I can carry this. I have people say to me sometimes, I've had people say to me, it's wrong that you preach and write and speak and do all the things. That's too much. And I say, it's not too much for me. It's what God's made me to do. I bear the burden that God has placed on me. And as long as can I tell you something? You could fashion a yoke for me and put on me that had far less to do than what I do now, and it could destroy me. I can carry far more if I'm carrying what Jesus has called me to carry, and not what my parents think I should carry. There's people in their 40s, 50s, 60s that are still doing what they think their parents want them to do. Not what my wife thinks I should be carrying. Now here's the trick. Not what my board thinks I should be carrying. My session, my elders. But no, we're supposed to do what the board says. No, you're supposed to do what Jesus says. Some of you are looking at me like you're not sure if that's true. You're supposed to do what Jesus says. Who's the Lord of the church? Oh, that was pathetic. Who's the Lord of the church?
Jesus.
Okay. Who rules and reigns in glory? Jesus or your board? with the board. Okay. And so, we need to spend more time on this one. If you're bearing the yoke of Jesus, if you're bearing the yoke of Jesus, you will not be crushed. If you're being crushed in your ministry, there's a good chance you're not bearing the yoke of Jesus. It's what you put on yourself. It's what someone else has put on you. And this is what I've learned in ministry to help my board, to help the leaders understand what the call of a pastor is. And I could do hours on the topic of just the call of, according to Ephesians chapter 4, pastors and teachers are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. No, pastor, we hire you to do it. No. You hire me to fulfill God's word, and God's word says that I equip the saints for the work of ministry. That means we are all his leaders. We are all his ministers. The word minister just means servant, right? We're all his ministers. We're all his servants. And I get to help equip you. I'll do some ministry, but I'll also train you to do some ministry. And together we'll change the world for Jesus. And so part of it is teaching. And so now you look like you wanted to jump in.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'll keep going. But in your outline there, it just says the demands of ministry are like a black hole. We'll do a little science here. How do you fill a black hole? You don't. It sucks everything in. And as far, scientifically, it just keeps sucking things in. Don't tell your church. I said, the guy at the conference said that you're like a black hole. But here's the reality. You will never completely fulfill and satisfy everything everyone in your church wants you to do. Never. You will never go to bed at night and say, oh, every need of every person in my congregation is completely met. There's nothing left to do. Never. Never. And if you bear all that yourself, it'll crush you. So you bear what Jesus calls you to bear. And that means you have to listen. And you have to talk to him about it. And that means there's times where you say that terrible, horrible, two-letter, one-syllable word. No. There's times where you, as a leader, you say, no, I can't. You say it graciously. No, I'm not able to do that. I'll be sending someone else to help with that. I'll be training people to help with that. Maybe God might raise you up to do that. But there's times where you say no. Because if I do, it was the point where I came to the point where I was seven nights a week. See, I discovered that the church is a black hole. Wonderful people, but there's no end to what can be done. And so 7 days a week and seven nights a week and no Sabbaths. I gave and gave and gave. And you know, the more you give, you just find out there's more that you can give. Or more that can be done. You get a point where you give nothing left. And you know, there was a point at which I wasn't loving my wife well. And I wasn't serving my children well. And I was dishonoring God. And to make those changes I made in my life, what I shared about yesterday, I had to say no. I had to have people call me and say, Pastor, I would like to have a meeting with you. And I'd say, okay, every night this week is full. Maybe next week. I wouldn't say four nights are full with church and three nights are full with my family. I would just say it's full. Do you know, and after I made that decision to have three nights a week to go home and stay home, and I would say to people, I'm not available till a week and a half from now. Nobody said to me, well, what are you doing those nights? I just said, my schedule is full until this time. Nobody ever questioned me. I said, okay, well, the next Thursday will do. Unless it's a true emergency. And you know there's people in the church that always have an emergency, right? Mm-hmm. And everything for them is an emergency. But I'm talking about not those emergencies. I'm talking about a true emergency. Then, like Jesus talked about, you know, about the Sabbath. He said, well, you do good. And so there's times where I may be on my Sabbath or I may be away with my family and an emergency comes, then I can set that aside, but not every time, right? And so, Sherry, talk a little bit about just being tempted to cross that line and lose that rhythm.
Well, quickly, it happened to me. I'm sure that we all have our stories. We found ourselves in a place where we need some help. And for me, it happened when Kevin became senior pastor at Corinth for 14 years. And you know, 30, I'm 32. We have three small children. We move into a new community. I had my own view of what I should look like as the new senior pastor's wife, mm-hmm. you know, a little bigger church. And so I moved into my neighborhood and the new family in the neighborhood. There's a lot going on. I love children, so I kind of took a role on in the neighborhood. I'm the pastor's wife. And then what happened, and this is what kind of took me over the edge, was we had a huge amount of tread our first year. Suicide. Accident, a young man, Aaron, just getting ready to go to college to be a minister and actually driving home from a Christian concert and got killed and had to do this huge funeral and it went on and I want to give you all the details, but it was, and being the pastor's home, we got the first call.
Yeah.
The furnace blew, you know, one of the elders back and now he's in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went on and on and on. Well, what happened to me was I did not know that it was taking a toll on me. I'm a very compassionate person. And this is how I found out. I actually ended up with fevers, physical fevers of 103. And they would just come and they would go. And so, of course, I went to the doctor, had every test under the sun, and nothing was wrong with me. And finally, I actually met a Christian counselor in our church, and I started to meet with him, and I found out that my body was being affected, was worn out from the burden of everybody else's pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you spend enough time with me, you know I'm a big person of prayer, and what came out of that time was, I am not anybody's savior, but Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm such a big prayer person, because I learned through that experience, and it's really formed my ministry very well, is that when a burden comes, I just pray right away.
Yeah.
I just release it to the God who can do something about it.
Yeah.
I care, but then I give it to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so through that experience, it really formed me to, I think, be an effective and fruitful minister's wife for all these years.
Mm.
But it was that moment. And I don't know what yours looks like. You've never had that. That's great. But usually, as we submit ourselves in those moments, God will teach us.
Yeah.
And we can change.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things for me was to watch my wife go from being a person who bore on her shoulders every person's need to a person who began bearing people to Jesus and placing them before Jesus. And then being able to come home and care for our children and care for me and care for herself and still walk with Jesus. She was so, I watched her just being crushed under the weight of all these people because she didn't realize that she couldn't bear them. You know, you can't bear the people of your congregation. You can't heal their brokenness. God can. Jesus, by his stripes, by his wounds, they are healed, not by yours. Can you serve them? Yes. The hands of a leader, we serve. Can you love them? Yes. Can you bear all their needs and heal their brokenness? No. But you bring them to the one who can. And the last thing I want to share as we close, and this to me is such a critical thing, and I want to just challenge you in one area in terms of the burdens that we bear, and that is in the area of Sabbath. I don't mean a legalistic Sabbath. I don't mean all the rules and regulations of what you can or can't do on a Sunday. I'm talking about the rhythm of life that God established at the beginning of creation. 6 days of labor, 1 day of rest. 6 days of labor, 1 day of rest. Have you ever wondered why God rested on the Sabbath day? As theologically thinking pastors, I'm sure you have. Why did God rest on the Sabbath day? Well, was he exhausted? Was he tired? I just can't do another thing. No, God doesn't get tired. I'll tell you my sense of things of why God rested. I believe God rested to teach us how to live life. I think it's the same reason that Jesus was baptized. He wasn't baptized because he was sinful. He was baptized to help us see that this is what we need to go through. And I believe that God rested to show his children. It's sort of like I was at the table with, who was feeding, I think Joshua's mom. Where's Joshua's mom? Yeah, okay, yeah. Tell me your first name one more time. Kate. Kate was feeding Joshua that disgusting, horrible goo that we give to children, right? I had a picture in my mind going back to when our boys were little. Sherry would, feed them these, and the fruit ones weren't too bad, and the vegetable ones were evil. But the meat ones are straight from the pit of somewhere very bad. And I remember watching Sherry one time stir this creamed liver or something. And our boys were doing what any sensible human being would do. They were turning their head in disgust and they didn't want it. And so Sherry did this. No, honey, look it. It's delicious. You know what she did, right? She goes, look. She eats it. And then it must be good, Ma. And then they tried it. They spit it out, but they tried it, this is God on the first Sabbath saying to his little boys and to his little girls, look at your daddy. Look at me. Watch. I'm resting. I'm stepping back. I who made the heavens and the earth, I who spoke all things into existence, I'm resting. And now let me give a pastoral word. And as a pastor to pastor, let me say this. Any time that we refuse to Sabbath, we are making a declaration to heaven and to earth that we are more powerful than the God of the universe. If God Sabbath and we don't, what are we saying? If God commanded Sabbath, if a pastor came to me and said, the last 3 weeks I've committed adultery once a week, we'd have a serious conversation about sin and repentance. If a pastor came to me and said, I robbed a bank, I robbed a convenience store, and I stole from my neighbor the last three weeks, I would have a problem. We would have a talk about that. But when a pastor comes and says, it's been 3 weeks since I've had a day off, we praise them for being such a good worker. Aren't you wonderful? You must really love your church. But you don't love the church when you don't Sabbath. Go back and read in Scripture about the Israelites and when God, the whole issue of, remember manna, where God gave the manna, but then they had to collect twice as much because if they would take the manna and they would keep it overnight, except for on the Sabbath, any other day, it would be filled with maggots, right? Two things about it. It reeked and it was filled with maggots. God said, but on the Sabbath, you could collect twice as much before and it would be fresh and wonderful manna, right? You know what God is saying? Listen closely. In 6 days of labor, you can do all that God wants you to do for his church and all that God calls you to do in life. And here's the trick. You will get more done in 6 days of labor with a day of rest than 7 days of labor and no rest. And so examine your heart. Do you Sabbath? Do you Sabbath well? Let me get particular for a moment. Let me get personal. Let me bug you a bit, all right? Do you check your church emails on your Sabbath? Oh, I take a Sabbath day. I don't even go to the office. Or do you pop into the office for 1 hour, to come in and to walk around so in case somebody drives by, they see your car there and they say, what a great pastor we have. They even come to the church on their day off. Aren't they wonderful? Do we take pride that we don't rest? And I went through that season that we shared about yesterday where I didn't Sabbath. And I was destroying my own health. I was hurting my marriage. I was hurting my family. And so to ask yourself, do you 1 day in seven? And I was actually going to try to find a quote from Calvin on this. Actually, can I tell you one of the things that Calvin says about the Sabbath? He says the Sabbath is a day wholly different than the others. It's different than the rest of your days. And so if you're on your email and checking with church with people the other days, don't do it on your Sabbath day. You know, if you're academic study during the week, then put the books aside. You know, just let that day feel different. Meet with Jesus. Be with people. Take a walk. Do something that you enjoy. Just breathe deeply. Laugh. Do something fun. And I'll tell you something, that rhythm of life that some of us don't, you know, when you read the statistics of how many people end up stepping out of ministry eventually, it's not all just moral failings or financial failings. A lot of times it's just that they're just exhausted. I need to go do something where I can punch a clock and walk away 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and nobody else talks to me about anything I did all day. And people walk away just because they're exhausted. But God has put this rhythm of Sabbath. How are you doing with that? And maybe examine your back. Am I carrying the yoke of Jesus, or the things I load on myself, or other people load on me, and maybe I need to make sure what I'm carrying is this feels right. It's amazing how much an ox can pull or carry when they have a yoke on them that fits them right. It's amazing. Have you ever tried to take a long walk with a blister on your heel? You can't take it, it's a teeny little blister. When you're carrying someone else's yoke, it begins to blister and burn and hurt, and even a light load doesn't feel right. When you're carrying what Jesus puts on you, it's amazing what you can carry and what you can accomplish. At the end of the day, you can say, I love this. I'll do it again tomorrow, unless it's my Sabbath. And then I'll rest. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the many things we've learned together. And Lord, I pray that these things we've talked about will stir people to a rhythm of examination, not self-scrutiny to the point of beating themselves up, but just a wise, spirit-led process. That every so often we would look at our funny bone and we'd say, am I getting too serious here? Am I driving too hard, myself and those around me? And Lord, let us remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That there is delight in walking with you. That, as Sherry said, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And then, Lord, let us look at our backs and just evaluate and say, am I carrying what you've called me to carry, Lord? And if you have, I will carry it. Jesus, you said, take up our cross daily and follow you. Our yoke looks a lot like a cross. And that cross means a self-sacrifice. It means giving fully of ourselves. But Lord, if we're carrying your cross and you're carrying us, we're going to be okay. And Lord, I pray for each brother and sister here that they will figure out how to get that rhythm of Sabbath into their life. That they will make that just like breathing, just like life. That they will work hard and play hard and work hard and rest hard. And I pray the next time that one of us rushes past our Sabbath day or goes to check on how the church is doing on our Sabbath day or checks the emails or just gets re-engaged with all the normal weekly stuff on the Sabbath day, Lord, that you'll just gently speak to us and just tell us that the Sabbath was made for us. It's a gift. It brings life. And let us find delight and joy. And let us help our churches know that we're being faithful to you as we work and also as we rest. As we work in the church, but also as we serve our families. And finally, Lord, we just, Sherry and I, we thank you for this body of people, for the privilege that we've had to share with them, to learn from them, to laugh with them, to walk, to play. Lord, we say to you, thank you for the body of Christ scattered all around the world. And for us, for the first time, to come to this part of the world and to meet your family, who is now our family, who has been our family. We just didn't know it. We say thank you, and we take delight. And whether we meet again here or meet again in glory, we thank you that we will be family forever. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.